It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Clexton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's bound it down, loaded up and trucking.
And welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Remco along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, serving Mobile since 1939, Alabama Pipe and Supply, Competition Head Service, and Ed Seafood Shed.
The Fantabulous, yep. Competition Head Service, Incorporated Limited Esquire.
Looks like we already got a caller online.
I better be the donut man with my donuts.
You think it may be? Yeah.
Yeah, where my donuts is anyway.
Caller, you online? Yep. Caller, you with us?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I got you.
Yes, sir. This is the donut man on the other end of this phone.
What?
Yeah, but on this end, this the donut man.
Oh, my God. You got the top cat here, baby.
To both of y'all gentlemen.
Yeah.
And I have a very lame excuse.
Oh, my Lord.
My caregiver did not come today. Now, here go the question. Are y'all going to be on air Monday of next week? Or are y'all going to be
sir.
Like a tape?
Not live.
No, sir.
You'll hear our voices, but we ain't going to be answering nothing. So.
Okay, so can we do it the next Monday, please?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
What? What's he
going to
do?
I am going to bring two friends of mine some fresh donuts. From Licky Good Donuts.
Good
Donuts, my Lord.
I'll be looking for that.
Yes, sir.
I'll be looking for that, baby.
My caregiver did not come today.
Uh-oh.
I am legally blind, so I'm not driving no more.
Oh, my Lord.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, but so. All is well.
Yeah.
All is well. I got a question for this afternoon.
All right, bring it on.
When was the first windshield wiper made, and was it a teenager that designed them, or was it a man that designed them? Don't nobody Google nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear the question.
Yeah.
Don't Google it now.
That's over my head. Yeah. I'm not
I can't even spell it. Google, so that's all right.
How you spell Google? Let me see here.
When was the first windshield wiper blade made, and who made them?
As far as who did, I have not a clue. But since you mentioned a teenager, I'm going to say it probably was one. But I'm thinking it was somewhere in the teens, because I know the 29 we have at the shop had them at one point. Doesn't anymore. We just kind of took that part off.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say somewhere around 12, 13.
Somewhere in there. Yeah.
Was made in 1909 in New York by a lady by the name of Mary. She got tired of riding the bus, and the bus had to stop to wipe the snow off the windshield.
There you go.
Lord.
You know, I think I heard that story. My memory bank is not what it used to be.
And I got a good one, but when I bring the donuts, I want one of y'all to hang up and tell me without me being on air, tell me how do I get in the building, okay? I'll hold on while one of them y'all tell me. For not this Monday coming up, but the next Monday.
All right. We can do that.
All right, buddy. It's going to be a few minutes before we take a break, but we can do that. But
yeah.
Sounds good. All right, buddy.
Yeah, my caregiver is going to blame me. Not this Monday coming up, but the next Monday.
Right.
Sounds good.
And I'll hold while one of y'all tell me.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
But, All good stuff. It's always I've read a bunch of that trivia. It's just been years, it's all the new information I have to take in. It pushes some of that old stuff out. So
I have a problem where I have like five extra hard drives on the little shelf in my brain cavity there.
Yeah,
and they're full of all this automobile stuff.
Yeah.
So if I put anything else up there, if I'm reading it now, I have to, empty something out of one of those other hard drives, find a place for it.
Right. I understand completely.
I know you should, Car Doctor. You don't have about 1,300 certifications or something?
I don't know. I don't even count anymore.
I know.
I'm having to do a bunch of this electric car stuff here lately.
Uh-oh.
And trying to catch up with that and done most of it. Still got some hands-on stuff to do.
Well, is any of that area that we could talk about that might be entertaining to our audience? But some of the stuff that
well, it's not very entertaining for me when I'm doing it. So
I can imagine. Yeah,
you know, the biggest thing they're doing is they're telling you don't touch nothing.
Oh,
yeah. You know, it's all about everything's isolated in that battery, and if you are even going to pull it in your stall to work on it, you got to pick these big rubber cones up. You got to run rope around it. You got to put signs up saying please stay out. You got to make sure there's no water on the floor in the shop.
Oh my Lord!
You got to wear Typo isolation gloves, rubber gloves, plus
That's like the linemen wear.
The linemen are it's exactly what they use. It's a leather glove with a rubber Classo insulation glove inside of the leather. And normally you want to wear like a cotton glove inside that because you sweat so bad and you don't want that either. Yeah, against that rubber. So it's you know, don't be wearing any jewelry. Don't wear a watch. Don't wear a metal belt buckle and any of that kind of stuff because when you're talking 300 plus voltage, it's going to it can arc. It's going to arc.
That's where I was going to go with that is. Back in the day when we started all the computers and the chips and all, we had a problem with static electricity just sliding across the seat, and you actually had to wire yourself to a ground
to start with,
and then, so that you could slide in there and start sliding around and working on that stuff.
Right.
But now, where are we at with that, man, with the amount of voltage and all?
The big thing is you've just got to be aware, and that's the big thing is you have to be aware of everything that's going on. Slow down, take your time, and don't touch stuff that you shouldn't be touching. You've got to really be careful and watch what you're doing one step at a time. Your wrenches, once you take the cover off that battery, there's a whole procedure to kill the voltage to the car. But that battery is always hot.
That battery, yeah.
Once you drop that battery out and open that case up, there's voltage everywhere. So you got to be careful there.
Are y'all allowed, even at the dealership, are y'all allowed to open the case to get into the battery itself?
Yeah. Huh? The vault, we were actually going in and replacing sections of the battery and doing modules inside that case and all that kind of stuff. They're not as much on doing that.
That's dead electricity there, though.
Oh, yeah. Eventually, we're probably going to be replacing cells in those batteries, but right now they're doing them as a whole battery pack. It's way easier for me, and I'd just soon do that from now on. But, it's
people are going to have to do that because what is a battery would actually cost a person, let's say, in a 22 or 23 model. Are we talking about 5,000 or 10,000 or 15,000 or what?
You a little north.
Keep going. Oh, above 15?
Yeah, it's a price one for a Bolt not that long ago. And year and a half, 2 years ago, it was about 10 grand. It's closer to 20 now.
You got to be kidding.
So, now, the Bolt is going away or has gone away. So the manufacturers that are working on the batteries are not putting much effort into that. So if you want one, you're going to have to pay for it.
The problem is none
of the Volts are worth that.
Well, hell no.
They quit building the Volt, I think, in 19, somewhere in there, maybe 20. But, the very newest one, luckily the battery's still warranty on it. But, the earlier ones, we have one that we use for a Curtis vehicle. Nice car. Run great. Everything. Yeah. It's got a gas motor in it. But that motor won't even run when the battery goes bad. They won't let it run. Huh? So
you can't bypass any of that?
No. Because it's doing is running the generator.
And it's
sending voltage out. And the car won't go if the battery, because it moves off the battery all the time. And basically the generator kicks in and you start driving off the generator, when the battery gets run down. But if there's something wrong with that battery, they won't let that motor run.
So. Now the Volt has a motor that activates a generator that that produces electricity that charges the battery that activates the car.
Yeah.
Now,
well, it's a hybrid.
That's a hybrid.
Yes.
So all hybrids are basically that way, right?
They will have a ICE engine, which is an internal combustion engine, okay, and a electric drive, basically.
Okay.
That is what it boils down to.
In other words, there's no direct drive to the gas powered motor.
Some do, but most of them don't.
It's rare. Yeah. Okay.
There's a way for it to drive down the road without the engine running. It will run strictly off the battery. Their range is much lower, all this kind of stuff, but it will do that. Okay. But all the Volt and the electric stuff they're coming out with now are typically not a hybrid. They're a full electric.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're running 100% of the time on battery and have to recharge. So,
so they don't have, they've got a semblance of a generator or an alternator in them, don't they?
Well, yeah, I mean,
we can discuss some of that when we come back. Yeah.
Temple. But we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
This 18 wheel is rolling heavy through the desert at night. I've been driving all day, but I won't shut it down tonight. I just pulled out of Santa Fe. I'm going to make it home by the break of day, cause the midnight hauler is cannonball and a home. Got my load strapped down and my Peter belts wound up tight. I got my saddle full of diesel and my belly full of coffee and white. But I'm talking on the radio, keeping track of old Smokey Joe, cause the midnight hauler is cannonball and a home.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury went out to play.
And so welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Ramkel along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But speaking of texts, we got one here. Nissan, just talking about the changing the batteries and working on these hybrid vehicles and electric vehicles. Nissan has to put a rubber mat down on the ground to stand on, and their battery is somewhere between 14,000 to 18,000. So, yeah, it's running right there with everybody else.
Well, you know what? What it tells you is that you're not going to be able to afford to own one of those cars if it runs out of warranty.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have any major problems with the battery, or I would think with any kind of, I guess that's a generator or some kind of electric motor that's on each wheel.
Well, it actually runs the transmission as such. It has a couple electric motors in it that drives the front wheels. And certain vehicles have a third motor that may run the rear wheels, or it may have four motors. Just depends on the car.
But that stuff is expensive too.
Yeah, when you start getting there, it gets expensive. But honestly, we don't have that much trouble with that part of these things. They've done a pretty good job on engineering the drivetrains of these electric vehicles.
But you don't want one of them to go bad on you when you buy it secondhand.
No. You know, honestly, if I was going to buy an electric vehicle, I would lease one. You know, and let it be the manufacturer's problem again in three years or 4 years or whatever. Yeah. I think that would probably be a better choice.
I would say, yeah.
So, but it looks like we have another caller online. Caller, you with us?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing tonight?
Oh, it's all good.
Oh, I thought it was somebody.
You thought it was somebody.
Huh? Dang,
hey,
man.
You know, I was hearing y'all talking about these hybrid bikes. Good thing I didn't show up tonight. And before I tell you why I didn't show up, because you know, both of y'all know what I mean when I say it's been a Monday all day long.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I had one all last week.
Yeah,
even through Friday and Saturday.
But it looks like I didn't miss the donuts tonight, so we'll be planning on that for the week after next.
There you go, baby.
There you go.
Make the donut run now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but look at here. Y'all talking about them hybrid batteries, and now, Tom, you know where I work, and Kevin, you may know where I work, but, you know, they won't even allow us to handle those outside side of the shipping container.
Right, right.
Well, now, wait a minute. Y'all sell those?
We do. We only sell them to professional customers.
Right, right.
You walk in off the street, you cannot buy one.
Oh, no, no. And it's, you know, and the shipping container like ours comes in for the bolt. We actually had to go buy a specific size forklift with, you know, a
special six foot
forks on it. And, you know, actually, I think there's 7 foot forks. But it's
them gloves that Kevin was talking about. Mm-hmm. Them things first off, they ain't cheap.
No,
right,
no,
and they have a shelf life.
Really?
Yep.
Yes.
What the hell could go bad with them?
Pinhole is all it takes.
Oh, excuse me. Okay.
Well, that's one of the first things they have you do is
pinhole in it. That's where the leather glove comes in, Tom. I learned this from dealing with them. And when I used to work up at the Barry Steam Plant, watched a guy get a pinhole in his lineman glove, and it about blowed his hand off.
Okay. Well, what do? You fill them with water and see if it leaks to find the pinholes?
There is a procedure to do that.
All right, do you know it?
I know it.
Ooh, we're going to learn something tonight.
You take that glove and you roll the open end up and hold it tight, and you turn that thing into like a party animal, you know, like a little balloon animal. And you look and listen, and you squeeze it, and you listen for leaks. Yeah.
So then when you squeeze it holds up, there. It pushes all the air into the finger.
Yeah, it pushes all the air into the fingers.
Or the palm.
Yeah, and then you look for holes there, and you also inspect that leather glove in between the fingers and everything else, make sure it has no holes.
I'm not working on them damn things.
Yeah.
Ain't no way.
I do not blame you, but hey, as long as you don't live in California, because, you know, they're outlawing gas automobiles by, what, 2030?
Yeah, 35, I think, is the...
Well, it's 13 years, I think you said, whatever that is.
Well, they better start working on their power grid, that's all I can tell them, because they can't keep the lights on now.
Right.
I was going to say, you know, I thought the same thing when I heard that. It's like, okay, this is the state that turns the power off during the summer at nights and weekends to have enough power to keep the major components operating.
Yeah,
you know, they don't have enough power to do what they're doing now, and they're going to take every one of the gas vehicles or internal combustion engines out of the state and make everything electric.
I wonder how many of those power plants are still running on coal and diesel in California.
Well, there's a bunch of wind generating plants.
Yeah,
because when I went out to 29 Palms. You know, we took that bus from LAX out to 29 Palms. You pass a bunch of them.
Really?
Huge.
Okay.
Well, there's about a bunch of hot air out in California, so they may be able to make that work. So.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, they're already in trouble. Look what's happening to Hoover Dam.
Right.
And the lack of water there. It looks like that dam with the water in that reservoir is like 20, 30, 40 feet or more, 100 feet low.
Maybe they could strike a deal with Texas and build a pipeline, and Texas could ship.
No. Can't have a pipeline.
Yeah, can't do pipelines.
Can't have a pipeline. No. Only one that can have a pipeline and it's legal is Joe Manchin from West Virginia, and he got a pipeline for his buddy to sign that last big bill that Biden had, and that was why he changed his mind and voted for the thing, because Biden approved that pipeline from West Virginia to Virginia that his buddy owns.
Yeah, you know, y'all were talking about these batteries, and again, somebody posted an invoice the other day, and by the time they got the handling fees and the shop fees, it was $29,000.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
For a battery.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did that include labor?
Yeah, it did include labor.
Okay. Whoa.
The labor's cheap
the
part.
The labor and stuff was like 400 and something bucks.
Yeah, labor's cheap part. So.
You know, you can buy a lot of gas for $29,000. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, right. Don't you know? I assure you that this old Top Cat will never own one of those things. And when they tell me that my car is not legal to drive on the road with gas again, then I'm just going to get me an electric wheelchair.
Yeah. Yep.
and get me an oversized motor on it so that I could run down the road, you know, at 25-30 miles an hour. And I want a siren and some blinking lights, you know, tell people get the hell out of the way.
I got you an idea now, Tom. I used to do a little part-time work over at the cart doctor.
Oh!
Where we used to customize golf carts.
All right.
And we got one day, and we put 11-horsepower motor in it and had it set up for 70% torque, which the thing would still run about 40 miles an hour, and it would pull the front wheels on that golf cart.
Unbelievable. That's what I want, baby. I ain't electric, you know.
Yep.
You know, them batteries that they put in them things ain't light. They're like 70 pounds a piece, and there's there. So there's a pretty good little bit of weight behind them things.
Do you remember what the kind of voltage or amp, the voltage and the amps on those batteries are?
It's a 36 volt. Now, I don't know what the amps might be, but it's 36 volts.
Good gracious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and there's a couple different versions. There's 36, 48, or 42, 48 volt, and a 72 volt.
Woo!
Also.
They're actually coming out with lithium ion batteries to go in them. So you can bet the price is going to go up for the batteries to go in the dim bad boys.
I'm sure.
They got to run, maybe, because I was in Fairhope the other day. I went by Panetti Pete's over at French Market there and partook of the new Italian cuisine that he has in that restaurant on the weekends on, I think it's Friday night and Saturday night, I know of, maybe Sunday too. But I actually got run over getting back to my car because somebody with one of those souped-up golf carts come down through there, and I thought he was running 100 miles an hour, you know.
Yeah,
the canvas was flopping on the top of that thing, you know, and popping and carrying on. Man,
well, now I mean, hey, I don't want to own an electric vehicle, but I, as far as electric motors go, they are some bad boys now because the torque is instantaneous.
Oh, it is, right? It is, yeah,
right. Yeah. Well, I mean, the neat thing about electric, you can actually have 100% torque on that motor at zero RPM, and all you have to do is release it.
Right.
Yeah. So it doesn't have to ramp up.
Will light up your life.
Yep. No doubt.
Well, that's what we tell them when people talk about these hybrid batteries and they say we're not supposed to have them. We tell them it will kill you and bring you back to life and then kill you again.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Just for good.
They get through, we will send the family can send the ambulance after your bacon.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No doubt.
Oh, no doubt. Yes.
Electric ambulance.
But they're coming. They're coming. So,
all right, guys. Well, I will let y'all try to get another caller in here, and we will talk to y'all in 2 weeks.
All right. Buddy. Thank you, Jarhead.
Take care, Jarhead.
All right, y'all have a great
night.
Brother.
But sounds like it's about time for us to take a break here. We're going to let you hear from our sponsors in just a second. But, you know, it's the electric thing is coming. We might as well get used
to it. It's here to stay, whether we like it or not.
Exactly. But, Sound like we are coming up to the end here, but we will get a little more into the electric cars when we come back, and we'll be back after these messages.
When along came a semi with a high end canvas covered load, if you're going to Winnemucca-mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man, I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. The travel I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Ramick along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But let's see, we do have a text here. Good afternoon, good evening, gentlemen. Love listening to your show. I work for a non-GM dealership, but we certainly have GM products on our used lot. When we're out locking vehicles before we close, I notice that you can't hit the lock button on the driver's side of the big GM SUVs and get them to stay locked.
What?
You have to go to the passenger side.
What?
Is that just the way they are programmed at the factory? And yes, they are.
Are you kidding?
You can, I believe, go in and change that. There's a part of the personalization. I think you can go in and change that.
Oh, okay.
Of course, most people, you know, especially our newer ones, you got to have the key fob in your hand because that is the key. So, you know, you get out and hit the key fob and it's good to go. It's going to lock everything anyway.
Okay.
But, yeah, they're trying to keep you from locking your keys in your car, but people still do it. I mean, it happens all the time. But, you know, it's a little harder now, but, you know, it happens. So, but it's all about personalization in the vehicle. You can go in and change the setup and should be able to correct that. But I'm sure you probably don't want to have to do that on everyone that's sitting on your lot.
So, no.
You know, but it is what it is. But anyway, we're talking about electric vehicles and the fact that they're coming. It's, you know, with California passing their law and that they're going to outlaw internal combustion engines, any new internal combustion engines being sold in California in 2035. So done.
Period. Well, you know, that being said, that is, they would, you know, they won't sell anymore, but they're going to have all of those current vehicles there. So, I mean, they're going to have to give them 8, 10, 15 years or some kind of shutdown thing for those people to wear those vehicles out.
Well, you know, and I don't see them actually like classic cars, you know, and they got to change their verbiage on a classic car, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but,
yeah.
You know, collector cars, for lack of better terms, and you can't just get an antique tag put on a car and drive it every day back and forth to work. You know, that's just not the way that program's meant anyway. I've got several classics, and two of mine do have antique tags on. They're actually original vintage Alabama tags that have been refurbished and put on the car and registered to the car, and they're legal to run on the street, but you have limited time that you can use them.
Hmm.
And I don't drive my cars a high amount of mileage every year, but so I stay under the limit that they want you to run. So it's not a problem, but you know, I'm still able to drive the car when I want to drive it.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, there's people that, well, I got a 30-year-old car. I ought to be able to put a tag, you know, get the one-time tag and not have to buy it no more and,
what?
You know, be exempt from all the emissions and
that being said, now, you have two avenues that okay. You can get the classic car or what, and there's another tag. So you'll buy it, but my mind didn't bring that name up right now.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, you can just buy a regular tag.
You can't buy
drive that vehicle.
Right.
You can't put a classic car tag on it.
Right.
Because now you have defined it as not being a regular everyday driver.
Right. One of the things that they've kind of decided that they needed to do to police that better is, you know, because instead of being a deciding what would be a collector car versus just an old car, the thing is you got to have insurance anyway, but the insurance has to be through one of these agreed value companies that insure classic cars,
like Hagerty or somebody,
right? One of those people.
Okay.
And that's the way my classic cars are insured, is through, you know, it's an agreed value. We've established what they're worth, and if something happens to them, that's what they'll pay me.
So they don't look in the blue book,
right,
to determine what your car is worth, because you might have it insured for $70,000.
Right.
But, I mean, to somebody that doesn't know what you have, it would probably be worth $3,000.
Right, right. You know, but those companies know what a collector car is and
right.
what qualifies, and how much that car would be worth. So they can do that.
They charge you for the that has to do with a prorated portion of the amount that you want to be paid for it.
It's actually very economical for the amount of coverage you have on the cars. It's cheaper than regular full coverage.
Well, yeah, you're not cheaper. Yeah, because they shouldn't have the exposure on it that you've got if you was a regular everyday driver.
Well, I mean, the cars, one of the requirements is you have to have an indoor storage facility.
Oh, so really? They actually require that now?
They require you have to send them a picture of your vehicle sitting in your garage.
Oh, no kidding.
I've been out of that
industry for a while. I didn't know that was part of it.
Right. So, which is a good thing. So it's kept indoors. It's driven a limited amount of time. And the people that have them take care of them.
Right.
That's an investment. Accidents happen. And if you're going to put it on the street, something can hit it. The people that have them, they baby the cars. They take care of them.
That's a lot of people's retirement income.
Right.
Right.
Well, it's... Heck, every time you go to a car show, all it is a bunch of people standing around wiping on their cars, rubbing them down, wax them, whatever, and then sitting around talking about them.
Touching them with powder puffs.
So it's, they're well cared for. So that's a whole different deal. So it's, that's what they're going to have to do to determine whether it's just an old car or a collector car, there's going to be ways and I don't ever want to see a day when I can't have my 55 Chevrolet with a gas burner motor in it.
I don't want to put an electric motor in.
It's just not that I've seen some very cool electric powered classic cars that are set up and done very nicely, and yes, there's a niche for that, but that's just not what I want.
You're not on that page.
No. If I want that, I'll go to work and I'll work on a Bolt, or the new Silverado when it comes out. Just a whole different deal. But anyway, they're coming. But I guess while we're on the subject of motors, we'll talk about Dewey a little bit from Competition Head Service.
The fabulous Dewey Miller. Competition Head Service.
I don't think he's gotten into electric motor stuff. But,
no.
I think he's all gas. He's
Ice Man.
Yeah, he's an Ice Man.
Internal combustion engines.
There you go.
He's Ice Man.
Yep. Does some fabulous work over there. Want to keep these. We're losing a lot of that. In this country. Not only are they pushing towards electric cars. I mean, the older cars are going away as well, and they did the whole cash for clunkers thing, and there was a bunch of cars going away at that time, and those motors had to be destroyed to where you can't use nothing off of them.
Did they put concrete in them or something?
It was a liquid glass put in there.
Oh, my Lord.
I mean, and it, you could take a perfect running motor. You don't drain the oil. All you got to do is pour the stuff in there and run it, and it locks it down.
It's not a repairable motor either.
It gets all up in the passages and it is done. There's no way to fix it.
That's so, junk.
But Charlie, looks like we may have another caller over here. But let's see what our caller has got. Caller, you with us? Hello.
Hey,
we got you.
I had two questions.
Okay.
First off, does an 82 El Camino, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You got to turn your radio down just a little bit, though.
All right, hold on just a second. Hold on. Is that better?
Yep.
Is this Kevin Ray Winkle?
It is.
I went to school with you at Davidson.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry about that, buddy.
Right? Well, I had two questions.
Okay.
First off, does an 82 SS Camaro, what is that worth?
Well, and that's a hard question. The 82 Camaro, there were a neat little car, but that was the first one of the new body style. We'll call it, I don't know what area you'd really want to call that, but it's a neat little car, but the later in that body style was actually, is a little more desirable. But it depends on the condition and the level of car. If it's the Z28 with the V8 and the standard shift and all that kind of stuff, it's probably still somewhere in the teens to 20. They haven't come on real strong unless they're highly modified. But they will. Yeah, they will eventually. Yeah.
Yeah, this one was all original, all parts, numbered, everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that your personal ride?
I'm sorry?
Is that your personal ride?
Hell no. No, but hell no. No, I ride drive a real truck.
There you go.
And another thing about these battery things.
Right.
I'm a master electrician.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering, there's a difference between AC and DC.
Yeah.
And just to be honest, because more than I do, I mean, how many milliamps is it, or is it amps that go with all this voltage with the DC thing,
Yeah. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but there's the amperage is pretty high up there,
right
in the 1,000 amp range or better. So it's you got to be able to take a 4,000 pound car and shove it down the road pretty quick and get it moving quick. Yeah, so it's got to have some capability there to move that and move it in a hurry.
Right, and like I say, I'm a master electrician, so. You can have, 10,000 volts, but, 10 milliamps, and that ain't going to do shit. But
right.
How many amps as opposed to voltage and DC as opposed to AC,
Right. Yeah, and it's actually converting it back and forth in the car. I mean, it's got inverter modules and all that in the car that actually take DC voltages and turn it into AC, and AC voltages turn it back into DC. So it's we got it on both sides. So
I know
it can get you.
And the bad thing is the Chinese are doing all the lithium ion all over the whole planet.
Right.
And I'm sorry to be political about it, but something's wrong with that.
Well, I don't disagree. I really think we need to be independent, sufficient, in our ability to put batteries together and cars together and the electronics together and all this kind of stuff. We don't need anyone else to be able to shut us down,
Right. And the biggest thing is, regardless of what happens, a friend of mine, she got a badass Porsche. It's got like 15-inch tires, but it takes her 4.5 hours to go 250 miles.
Right.
And I just thought, regardless of the batteries, who's going to generate the power for the battery?
Right. There's a whole bunch of questions that are going to have to be answered before this really happens, and I think they're just, the powers that be are just throwing this out there, and they're expecting someone else to fix it for them. Is lack of a better answer.
Sounds like a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
That's just me. But
I understand.
I say, I'm a master electrician. I don't get it.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to have, and now they're doing windmills off of New Jersey, mm-hmm. and it's going to screw the whole fishing industry up just because of that.
Yep, I understand.
And the Europeans are the ones that are doing it.
Yep. I hate to cut you off, but it's time for us to take a break, and I do appreciate you calling in. And
all right, Kevin, I appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
And y'all have a good evening.
All right, you too. Thanks. But sounds like it's time for us to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
I was toting my pack along the dusty when a muckaroo went along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load. If you're going to win a muckamack with me, you can ride. So I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand. And I said, listen, bud, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man, I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere. Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Matama, Apolloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Topekillo, Anquilla, Ampadilla, I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, Canada, Monterey, Ferry Day, Santa Fe, Tallahassee, Glen Rock, Black Rock, Little Rock, Arkansas, Tennessee, Hennessy, Chippewa, Spirit Lake, Grand Lake, Devil Lake, Crater Lake, the Peaks, like I've been everywhere, man.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Remco along with Tom Clash. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Speaking of text, I have one here. I have a 2014 GMC Terrain. For 6 months when starting in the morning, it would have lots of valve clatter and auto rough for about a second. Then I assume the computer took over control and the clatter goes away and it idles smooth. Went to start it the other day and it was doing it all the time and barely runs. Any ideas? No check engine lights either. What you're hearing is not valve clatter. It is chain rattle. The timing chains are rattling in it. They're pretty notorious for doing that. Need to get it taken care of sooner than later. One thing these little motors are notorious for is using oil. Check your oil level, make sure it's full. Don't go over 3,000 miles on oil change on that car because it gets gummed up and it causes chain problems, and the chains are the weak point of that whole motor. It's a great little motor if you keep the oil changed in it.
Does it have rails that the chain?
It's got the guides and all that stuff, but the chain stretches to the point, and it just can't control it anymore. Okay. And the guides,
it is a chain; it's not a belt.
But once it gets worn enough, it'll actually hit an aluminum boss in there and start shedding metal, and it'll get all up in the actuators and stuff. It's not good for it. That's why I say you need to get it taken care of sooner than later. But first thing you need to do is check the oil on it. But I'm pretty sure you're going to have to put timing chains on it because that sounds exactly like what you're talking about. So I would do that soon. And,
is that something y'all could do out there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's basically the same vehicles, our Equinox of that same time period. It's got the little 2.4 motor in it. Like I said, it's a good motor, but it's, you got to keep the maintenance up on them. Yeah, so I know the 2016 we had, I started changing oil at 3,000 miles from day one. So that motor will never have a problem as long as whoever got it after me, keeps it up. And my 19 model, same way. We change oil every 3,000.
So you actually had a vehicle with that motor and all that?
Yeah, yeah. And we had the 2016 Equinox, which is the same vehicle, same motor. So
okay.
But it's at this point it's too late to go back and do the oil changes now. But if you go in and you it has not started shedding metal yet, you can change the chains in it and be fine just from this point forward. Even if it's using a little oil, just change the oil more often. You know, it's fine. You know? Yep. And if you got to put a cord in between changes, it doesn't hurt it. So just do that. There's a bunch of them out there we change every 3,000, and customer normally has to put a cord in between. And, yeah, that's
well, a quart of oil, I mean, between oil changes is a lot cheaper than a motor, and it's a lot cheaper than buying another car.
Right, right,
come
exactly.
On, you know, come on, let's put the pin on it.
Exactly, you know. My son drives a 12 Equinox out in Texas, or his wife does, and same issue. I mean, it's the same issue. The chains have been replaced in it, but it uses a little bit of oil. And I said, hey, buy oil. Change it every 3,000 and keep the oil full between. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It does a good job. But anyway, we've been busy around the shop. And I was actually reading something this evening because we were talking about, because we slowed down just a little bit, not much. But, yeah, there's places around that are scheduling people out 8, 10, 12 weeks. And you know, it's very limited on what they can take, and you know, the market, they're talking about service business being down, but it's not because people don't want to get their cars fixed. It's because the shops don't have the capacity to get the cars in like they should and get them fixed because they can't get the help.
Right.
You know,
right.
So, help in this industry has been, it's getting worse,
and
you know, as far as finding help.
I would think it's
going
to get worse because we don't have any, nobody's training anybody, Kev.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, first off, we got to get people that want to work, you know, and want to learn it. There's good money in this.
Awesome money. Man, yeah. Make an awesome living.
You can do well working on cars for a living, and it's not the old grease monkey image that people used to think
of
working on cars.
We don't have mechanics anymore, baby. We have technicians.
And honestly, this is a wonderful time to get into it for people because, you know, it's, the new technology for electric cars are coming and, you know, yeah, you'll have to learn some of the current stuff, but if you learn the electric stuff, you're ages ahead of a lot of people.
Oh yes.
So,
oh, yeah.
You know, hey, it's coming.
It's here. Where we
like
it.
We need
not.
People.
Yep.
And looks like it's time for us to call it quits
get
for tonight.
Yeah.
But I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doc Show. We will be recorded for next week, but we'll be back the week after that.
Donuts the next week.
It is Labor Day. We're gonna take a night off.
Right.
So that's all right.
Yeah.
Rolling down the highway in my Jimmy hauling for 8 from Chicago to St. Louis, Lord, I see her every day. A double clutching weasel like me can hardly ever get a girl to look at him that away.